take it to the bank, but you must stand in faith, because unbelief will cause you to lose your blessing, to cause you to miss what God is doing for you. So I'm here to encourage you, whether you're in the body of Christ, whether you're just in radio land looking for a word of encouragement today, I am encouraging you today to stand without faith, stand with faith, because faith without work, it is dead. We have to do everything we have to do on our behalf. We cannot wait and think that God is just going to hand over things for us on a silver platter. It's going to take work on our behalf in the name of Jesus. So not because things, what God has promised, hasn't come to pass yet. I encourage you to stand in faith. Look to God with expectancy, to know that it is just like when God promised us something. It is just like if somebody told you that they're going to send you a check in the mail. You have expectation. Every time you see the mailman, you are going to look, because you know that that check is on the way. That's the same thing. When God promise you something, you can take it to the bank and look to God, just as you put your trust in the mailman and put your trust in that person who is going to send that check to you. That is the same way you ought to take your faith and you place it in God and stand and don't waver in your in your heart or your mind. You can't be a double agent. You have to stand and trust and believe. You can't be double. You can't be wavering today, my brothers and sisters in Christ. I am here to tell you, this is a living testimony. Because when I know the voice of God, when God speak, and sometimes some things may, we might think things delay, but God have a time and a place and an order in which he does things. So whatever you believe in God for today, stand in faith. And I just thank you, and may God bless you. At this time, I will turn it over to Minister Levante to see what he has for you today. God bless you. I love you, Apostle G and Apostle Rebecca. God bless you. Oh, sorry.
Amen. Faith without works is dead. Faith without works is dead. See, a lot of us forget that our walk with God is work. A lot of us forget that our walk with Christ requires something from us. We forget that our relationship with God requires us to be active on our side. See, God may promise something to us and we don't see it come to pass. But it's not always because God is not working. It's because we are not working on our side. We're not holding up our side of the deal. We're not holding up our side of the bargain. And we allow in times like this for the enemy to come in and bring doubt, confusion, to bring double-mindedness. And that is where some Christians are lacking today. That's where some Christians are losing their belief today, because they allow doubt from the enemy to come in and take over their mind. They allow the enemy to play mind games. They allow the enemy to play tricks on their mind and in their hearts, thinking that God is not able to do what he said he would do, to make it seem that God is not going to do what you asked him to do. But I'm here to tell you today, you may be delayed, but you are not denied. God is the same God yesterday, today, and forevermore. He will not change. He is an unchangeable, incomparable God. God will always come through according to his will. Now, if we actually think about it, maybe we're not living in his will, that we're not seeing the things come to pass. A lot of us like to put things on God and blame God for situations and circumstances that we have in our lives. But a lot of the time, we need to take a look at ourselves. Take time to self to give a self-examination, a self-evaluation of your walk with Christ. The church is in limitation. The church is failing and going under because of lack of faith, because we are not working the way God needs us to work. We're not doing the things that God needs us to do in order for Him to perform in our lives. I once brought a word saying we need to be proactive in the Spirit. And proactivity is nothing but having faith in God, that He will do what we need Him to do in the future tense. That we will have the faith to believe that God will do what He said would do. It says here in James 2:19, you say you have faith, for you believe that there is one God. Good for you. Even the demons believe this, and they tremble in terror. How can we let the enemy have more faith in God than we do? How can we let our adversary, how can we let the devil and the demons have more faith in God than we do? How is it that the people in this world have more faith in something than the people in the church? Why is it that Christians are lacking? Because we do not have the faith to believe that God is God. You say you have faith. Good for you. Even the demons believe this. So when are we going to come to the point where we stop putting ourselves on the same level as demons? When are we going to get to the point where we stop putting ourselves on the same level as our adversary and the enemy and start rising above that? We were made to be more than just these low-level people. We're made to be more than just live in poverty, lack and limitation, to be faithless, to be living in confusion, doubt, to have our bodies be sick on the sick bed, and all these things. But it's because we have a lack of faith in the body of Christ.
Is a Christian needs to get
God is faith. Calling us. To have higher faith, increase faith in this time, for we're in the last days. God is really speaking to us in this time, and it is in this time that we need to really seek God for that faith. If we are lacking faith, it is simple enough as asking God for more faith. If we are lacking faith, it's simple enough as us praying to God to impart more faith on the inside of us. God is able to do this. But faith without works is dead. If we're not working on our part, God cannot work on His part.
Amen. Glory to God.
We need to exercise our faith the same way that we go to the gym to exercise and make our body strong and make our body look good and all these things, the same way that we need to exercise our faith to make our faith stronger, to make our faith good, mighty, and powerful, that when we come up against our adversary, we can look our adversary in the face and have the faith to know that God is able to move in our situation, that God is able to move when we speak.
Hallelujah.
This is our time, church. This is our time, people of God, to rise up in faith and know that God is working on our behalf. God has not forsaken us. God has not given up on us. It is us who have given up on God. It is us who has given up on our faith in God. God is calling us to a higher standard. He's calling us to a higher standard in faith. It's time we start walking in faith. So many people are walking blind in this world, not knowing that God is right there. But it's time we open our spiritual eyes, church. It's time we open our spiritual eyes, brothers and sisters, people in the body of Christ, and see that God is right there. Have the faith to believe and know. He's we real. Cannot let ourselves get discouraged when we see other people getting blessed, when we see other people walking in what God has called them to be, and yet we are still here in the same place, same situation. We can't look at others for comparison because we are our own person. God made us in our own special way. He didn't make us all the same, but He made us all different. We each have our own DNA. We each have our own parts in the body of Christ. And we can't allow ourselves to get jealous or all these things because we have the lack of faith that God can do what He's doing for other people. If you're going to look at somebody else and wonder how God is working in their life, know that it is because they have faith in God. They have the faith to believe that God is able to do what He said He would do. They have the faith to believe that God is, can give us the desires of our hearts, that God can bless us in such wonderful ways. But to bring it back to what my pastor said, it's all about your mindset. Where is your mind at? What are you putting in your mind? What are you allowing the enemy to play in your mind? What are you allowing the enemy to do in your mind? What areas of your mind are you giving to the enemy? Glory to God. It's all about our mindset. Yes. Faith is a mindset. Faith is a way of life. And it's something we have to work at. It's not just something that we just have. It's not just something that we can just say, I have faith and everything's going to work out. That's not how faith is. Amen. Because a walk with God is an active walk. Yes. It's a continual walk. It's a journey. It takes daily commitment. Yes. It takes daily prayer. It takes daily work.
Yes, it
will. For faith to move.
Yes, Lord. Minister, I heard you say that even demons know how to have faith.
Yes.
They have faith in their father, their master. So, and then we worried about how the enemy is busy. He's busy having faith and trust in his master. So what's going on with the Christians? Why can't we have that faith and that trust in God to know that God is able to fulfill what He's promised, but we worried about demons and the devil being busy. They're busy doing what they are called to do. We need to get busy to do the same thing what we are called to do. And I heard that you said if we lack faith, if a person lack faith, they can ask for more. Yes, they can ask for more, but it's a test. Are they willing to go to the test? Because your faith had to be built. And you, when you ask for God to build your faith, you are going to be put to the test. Are you ready for that test? Are they ready for that test? God is going to put you through some things to exercise that faith. As you said, when you go to work out, you feel the sore muscles. You feel all these things to develop strength in your muscles and your tissues. That's the same thing with faith in God. You got to exercise it. So people, we can't expect to sit around and expect everything to just hand over to us. God must come down to our level and just hand down everything to us on a silver platter. It doesn't go like that. And back to the promised land, even the promised land that God has promised to the Israelites, it didn't just hand over to them. Look what they had to go through. They had to wander in the wilderness. They had to take that journey to go into possess the land. Are you ready to put your faith to the test? Are you ready to put faith in your footwork? Are you ready to possess the land that God have for you? We all have a promised land. We all have giants. But I want you to know by faith that God have given you the power to slay those giants. It is already done. It is already done for you. All you have to do is possess it. You know that no matter what areas of your life the giant is standing in, those giants are already defeated in the name of Jesus. Because we serve a God who can do all things but faith. But we got to exercise our faith, our trust in God. We have to stand upon His word. Because the word that He spoke over your life, the work of promise, know that God is going to stand upon that word to see it performed for you. So do what you got to do. Just stand in faith and believe God and know that God will come through for you. For He can do all things but fail. I want you to know that nothing you can ask for that God cannot provide for you. Take the limits off God. You need to trust God for big things. You need to trust God. Think expansive, big things. So we serve a big God. We serve a God that everything and the earth belongs to Him. And you can do all things today. I'm encouraging you today. Be strong in the Lord. Stand in faith. Stand in trust today. In Jesus' name.
Amen. It's another day of miracles.
WTAN Clearwater, Tampa Bay. WDCF Dade City, Tampa Bay. WZHR Zephyr Hills, Tampa Bay. Listen.
There's a river I wanna swim in. There's a river I wanna live in. It's the
Hey, everybody, it's time for Living the Good Life, and we've been having some technical issues going on here, so ran that song all the way to the end, didn't we? I'm Pastor Marcia McAllister at Beacon of Hope Ministries right here in Clearwater, Florida, and got some issues going on last week during our show. We were hit by lightning and lost all the power, and so we only went for about 45 minutes instead of our usual 2 hours. So we're back today, and but now the phones are not working at all. So we were going to have Betty from Michigan and Cindy from Idaho joining me, but that is not possible. So just found that out. And so Pastor Jim is on his way to join me on the show. Otherwise, I'll be talking myself for a long time here. So anyway, looking forward to today. Always a joy to be on the air with you all and to bring God's word to you and some great music from Beacon of Hope Ministries. And we are right here in Clearwater, Florida. So we're looking forward to a major event coming to our ministry 3 weeks from today. And the show that is on before us, Truth Talk, is usually Dr. Rebecca McKay and her husband, Bishop George McKay, they will bring their congregation to our facility at Beacon of Hope on September 29th. It is our 18th anniversary as a ministry, and they and their congregation are special guests of ours that day, followed by a great meal right after service. So mark that day on your calendar. Anyone's welcome. We'd love for you to come and visit with us on September 29th, 3 weeks from today. And 10 a.m. is the time of the service, followed by a great meal. And our new address and our new facility is, get ready, you can write it down, 2058-2058 Weaver Park Drive. Weaver Park Drive in Clearwater. 2058 Weaver Park Drive. So that's what we're going to be doing 3 weeks from today. And we so look forward to those dear folks coming and joining us. Pastor Paula was just on a minute ago on their show. And we're going to have quite a day that day, Pastor Paula. We're going to have church. And Dr. Rebecca will be singing, and we're just going to have great music and teaching the word and just whatever God leads. We're going to be praying for people. It's going to be dynamite. We can't wait. Our church is so looking forward to that. So that's our 18th anniversary that day, and we are so blessed that these dear ones are going to come and be our guests that day and be a part of our service. So looking forward to that 3 weeks from today. So today we are up and running, even without the phones working. They are not. So we've had quite a week with equipment issues and a bad storm last Sunday afternoon, Pastor Paula. When we were in the middle of our show, 45 minutes in, lightning hit and thunder and knocked everything out. So, it's been kind of crazy. But weather happens, and last weekend weather was kind of crazy. So anyway, we are glad to be up and running today and able to broadcast this show and record it at the same time for podcast use. So if you know somebody who wants to hear the show and will not be able to listen live today, it'll be up on podcast by tomorrow sometime right here on TantalkNetwork.com. Go to the podcast tab and go down to the name of our show, Living the Good Life, and look for today's date, and you'll be able to listen to the show tomorrow sometime. And so anyway, we're glad everyone's joining us. We've got some great music in store. We got some great chat. Pastor Jim will be along pretty soon. And we've got a lot to teach today. And we are still in our series, Becoming Disciples. And so excited about this series. It's part 5 today of our series, Becoming Disciples. And we've got a lot to talk to you about today. Very important. This is one of those days you probably need to get a pen and a paper and write some things down. And I'm sure it will be a blessing to you as we go through these truths from God's Word. Excellent stuff. So we're glad you're here. We're glad you're joining us. We are going to play a new song by the group I Am They. I don't know a whole lot about this group, but I know that I love this song. And when Betty was down visiting a few weeks back from Michigan and running around this area with me in my car, we were singing this song a lot. And the title of it is, let me cue it up here. The title of it is My Feet Are on the Rock. So let's listen to it. I think you're going to love it. It's a great, great song. Here we go.
Ooh. Ooh. I can see the clouds rolling. I can feel the winds, they try to shake me. I will not be moved. My feet are on the rock. I can feel the waters rise. I can hear the howling lies that haunt me. Fear won't hold me now. My feet are on the rock. Your unchanging grace. Let the waters come.
Solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. On Christ, a solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand. So stomp your feet and clap your hands, our feet are on the rock. On Christ, a solid rock I stand, all of the ground is sinking sand.
Christ Jesus. Praise God. That's who he is. He is the rock of our salvation, our stronghold, our defense. And I love what David said so long ago in Psalms chapter 18. And when that was playing, it reminded me of how much I love that scripture in Psalm 18. And let's go there for just a minute. If you have your Bible, you want to follow along. I just love these words that David wrote, and he says this. He says, I love thee. He's talking to God. I love thee. I love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock. There it is. My feet are on the rock. The Lord is my rock, my fortress, and my deliverer. My God is my rock. Okay? We got to have a rock to hang on to sometimes, people. My God is my rock, in whom I take refuge. He is my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. Verse 3 of Psalm 18, David said, I call to the Lord who is worthy of praise, and I'm saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. Sometimes we feel like we're going down for the last count, don't we? And he said, the cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. Verse 5 of Psalm 18. The cords of the grave coiled around me and the snares of death confronted me. But verse 6, I love this. In my distress, I called to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. And from his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. Dear one, God hears your prayers. You know that, don't you? So I think sometimes the devil would come to us and say, God's not paying attention to you. Who do you think you are? You're not a preacher, evangelist, or whatever. God doesn't pay attention to you. You know, God, all through the scripture, says that he hears our prayers. And we pray, and so many times we feel like, well, we didn't get an answer that we wanted, or we didn't get it right then. That doesn't mean God didn't hear you. That just means he knows what's best for you. And so often that answer comes in a different way or at a different time, or you get the result that you really need, but not maybe the result that you thought you needed. Does all that make sense? Psalm 18, verse 16 says this. He, meaning God, reached down from on high and took hold of me. He drew me out of deep waters. He rescued me from my powerful enemy and from my foes who were too strong for me. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. Can you say that with me? The Lord is my support. He's your support system. You know, in a day and age where we see people on airplanes traveling with their pets, I'm not against pets. I have two beautiful little dogs. But they call them emotional support. Guys, God Almighty wants to be your emotional support. It says here in verse 18 of Psalm 18. They confronted me. Who? People that were standing against David. They confronted me in the day of my disaster, but the Lord was my support. Say the word support with me if you can. I won't be able to hear you, but say it. Say this with me. The Lord is my support. The Lord is my support. Verse 19. He brought me out into a spacious place. He brought me out into a spacious place. He rescued me because he delighted in me. He brought me out into a spacious place and rescued me because he delighted in me. Some of you right now need some rescuing. Maybe you're in a situation you just don't know what's going on or what to do about what you're going through. And God wants to encourage you today. We're going to talk about words of encouragement, what they mean, and how do we know when we're giving a word of encouragement or not. There's so many times that we can say something to someone and it actually hurts their feelings instead of being a word of encouragement. And today we are going to talk about words of encouragement because disciples learn how to give words of encouragement. Yes, they do. So we're going to talk about that after Pastor Jim gets here. And we are going to just really stay in tune with God's word in this show and help you with whatever is going on in your life that you need a word of encouragement or you need God to just move in your situation because he wants to do that very thing. That's what he wants to do for you. Listen to this song right now. And it is from the same CD that I have, actually some wow hits from 2019. And one of the ones that I absolutely love, and God of All My Days. Let's play that one because I think you're going to love it. God of All My Days. Casting Crowns is the group that made this song.
I came to you with my heart in pieces and found the God with healing in his hands. I looked to you, drowning in my questions, and found the God who holds all wisdom. And I trusted you and stepped out on the ocean. You caught my hand among the waves, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My from you and wandered in the shadows and found a God who relentlessly pursues. I fell on you when I was at my weakest and found a God, the lifter of my head. And I've worshipped you, felt you right beside me. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God of all my days. Each step I take, you make a way, and I will give you all my praise. My
my searching, God, you are my answers. In my blindness, God, you are my vision. In my bondage, God, you are my freedom. In my weakness, God, you are my power. You're the reason that I sing, 'cause you're the God.
Love that song. God of All My Days by Casting Crowns. We actually did that song at Beacon of Hope last week. Love it. Pastor Jim just arrived to rescue me from having to do a two-hour show by myself. So that's really cool. And he's getting all hooked up and plugged up in there in the studio. So we'll hear from him. And he's going to try to get on Facebook for some of you. We are on YouTube right now, so you can see him in his pink shirt. If you go to Tan Talk Radio or Tan Talk Network on YouTube live, we are on live. You can't see me. I'm in the control room running the controls, but you will be able to see Pastor Jim. Are you okay? Let me see. Which phone? Okay, you're on that one. Let me get what mic you're on, and let's try that. Are you there? Yep.
Okay. Am I on?
Yeah, you are.
Oh, okay.
You'll have to tighten all that up, you know, down.
Yeah, it's a mess.
So, but we've got you. So go ahead doing your thing. And I was just introducing the topic a few minutes ago. We're in our series, Learning, Becoming Disciples is really the name of the series. Becoming Disciples. And a disciple is one who is trained or taught. A disciple is, you say, well, I thought there were only 12 disciples. No, there are many more than 12. Jesus sent out the 12 and sent them out two by two. You can find all that in Matthew chapter 10. It's also in Mark. It's also in Luke where he sent out the disciples. And then he also sent out later on 70 two by two. So that was 35 groups of two he sent out another time. And then there were 120 in the upper room. So there were a lot of disciples. A disciple does not mean, the word does not mean the one who walked with Jesus when he walked this earth. That's not what the name, the word disciple means. The word disciple means one who is trained or taught. And so it comes from the Greek word. It was originally written in Greek. And the word there is Mathetes. I don't know. I never can say these right. Pastor Jim can.
Mathetes.
Oh, Mathetes. Okay. It's like math. M-A-T-H-E-T-E-S. One who's trained or taught. And the bottom line of a true disciple is it's somebody who wants to be an imitator. An imitator of Jesus. Who wants to begin to learn how to act like Jesus, walk like Jesus, talk to him. Be a disciple. So you say, well, are there disciples today? Absolutely there are. You want to address that, PJ?
Well, there was 120 at the upper room.
Right.
And, of course, from there it went to, 3,000 on the day of Pentecost?
Yes.
And then 2,000 more were added after Peter and John healed that lame man.
That's right.
So, yeah, a disciple is not just the 12.
No. It's us.
It's everybody.
It's those who choose to be disciples, don't you think?
Yes.
Because not everybody chooses that because, you know what, guys, it's not a really easy job. A disciple, I made a list of the 10 things that disciples are back in October, November of 2006, and ran across this handout a couple weeks ago that I had prepared. Clear back then, I taught this whole concept different times in my church in Indiana. So some of you that might be listening from the Indiana crew, you might remember me teaching on disciples. True disciples desire to be imitators of Jesus. That's who they are. The word disciple is really only used once or twice in the Old Testament. New Testament, it's used 255 times. Shell, are you happy to join us? Are you joining us? Okay, hang on just a minute. We cut his mic off real quick, and then you can get her set up. So we had this emergency, for those of you that are just now tuning in. We had this emergency when I walked in. I did not know that the phones were not working. And so Betty and Cindy Henderson were supposed to be on the air, and they could not be because we could not accept their phone calls into the studio. So I had to call Pastor Jim, who was the closest I could reach, and get him to wake up from his little nap and get here. And but he's here. And now Shell just walked in. So what a blessing to have both of you. This is great. And we're going to get all tooled up here with the two of them in the studio. And some of you are seeing them right now on Facebook and on YouTube as they get hooked up. And we're going to talk about these disciples and how disciples are supposed to give a word of encouragement. That's what we're supposed to give. Can you hear anything, Shell, through there? Not yet? Try a different channel. There's one of those channels in there that's not working. None of them are working? No, I heard you. Hang on just a minute. Talk to me, PJ.
They're working, but the sound is absolutely horrible.
Horrible? Okay. All right. Keep trying a different input. And I'm going to go to a song while you two do your thing in there. All right. Let's do Resurrection Power here while they are getting this all figured out. Chris Tomlin.
You called me from the grave by name. You called me out of all my shame. I see the old is passed away. The new has come. Now I have resurrection power living on the inside, Jesus. You have given us freedom. No longer bow my sin and darkness, living in the light of your goodness. You have given us freedom.
Love that song, and I love what I've been watching from the control room here through the window at Pastor Jim and Shell in there, who, by the way, along with Betty, are the ones who man our prayer line, and they all three do such a great job. Shell, can you hear anything in your headphones?
Yes.
Okay, that mic right where you are, that's working. You have to get close into it, though. All right, so you must have been driving from your mom's house and headed home to your house when you heard the catastrophe going on here?
Yes, actually, I was tuning in and about to get on 75.
Yeah, oh my gosh.
And it's about an hour drive.
Right.
But, I don't know, I heard all the commotion and the trouble you guys were having, the technical difficulties. So I just did a big U-turn before heading on the highway.
You're amazing.
Better late than never.
Better late than never. Thanks for coming in. Pastor Jim, I had to wake him up from
you
a nap
up
show.
From a nap.
I woke her up, him up from a nap. I called and I said, sorry, but I'm here by myself. And unless you guys want 2 hours of just me and 104 songs, you know,
we felt bad for the audience.
That's what I know. I know you did. And so here you are. You make a Yui and come back. This is great. Shell Lauren Gray, so glad to have you on the air. She's a part of our radio team. And but lives in Wesley Chapel, so it's a long way away. So, boy, you did a nice Yui and sped right back here. That is great. We're talking about discipleship. As you know, Shell, you were in the service this morning. You know what we're talking about. Disciples, give a word. Learn to sustain the weary with a word of encouragement. And in my sermon this morning, I really didn't get to the word of encouragement very long because we were talking about some other aspects of giving a word. And so often people, when they give us a word, it's a word of despair. Would anybody agree with that? Shell, talk to me about that. Let's just make you jump right in here. And
we are live on Facebook.
We are? Okay, great. You're going to have to get that mic closer to your mouth because there you go, or up there. Yeah, there's a little screw where you can tighten it somewhere, okay? All right, so...
I just don't want to be too loud.
You're fine. You're just fine. I just can't, like, fix it from in here at the controls, so you'll have to do that. But you guys can figure that out. So while she's getting it figured out, get it up in the air and try tightening that. Pastor Jim, let's go to you while she's fixing that. I'm going to turn her mic off for a minute while she fixes that. Go ahead.
Okay, well, yeah, so many times we get a word of discouragement. I mean,
right.
We give words of discouragement. Oh, gee, I wish there was something maybe I could have done. Or,
right.
You know, somebody comes to you with a problem. Well, I don't know. I don't know
right.
what to tell you.
Right.
And... But as a disciple, I mean, it right. says here in Isaiah 50, verse 4.
Yes, let's go there. Isaiah 50, verse 4. Go ahead.
Because I figured that's where you were headed.
I was headed
so,
there.
Yeah.
Yeah. Got sidetracked watching Shell work on the microphone.
It
but
said,
go ahead.
And I'm reading out of the Amplified, the Lord God has given me his servant, the tongue of disciples, as one who is taught that I may know how to sustain the weary with a word.
And love that.
What I get out of this is it's not something, A, that we do naturally. It's
right.
something that we have to be taught.
Yes.
So that we will know how to do it. It's knowledge. It's something that we have to learn how to do. And that would be at least knowing the word, because there's no better source of encouragement, but also learning to listen to the Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
We can't encourage somebody if we're not really tuned in. We don't know what God wants to tell them, because that's what all this is about.
Right.
Is we're telling them what God wants them to hear. Well, unless we're tuned into the Spirit, we're not going to exactly know what the
exactly.
Father wants to express to them.
And it's so often we can think, I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything to say. And then the Lord just puts it in your heart, right? And suddenly, Shell, you're talking about being a well-taught tongue, it says here in the Message Bible. The Master God has given me a well-taught tongue. Now, that means I have sat under teaching, okay? You're a professor, okay? So your students come in and they listen to someone who knows more about that subject than they do, correct?
Correct.
That, I mean, that's the that's general the idea, right? That's the goal, right?
Sometimes they know more than I do.
Okay. But for the most part, the goal is they know less about that subject than you, so they need a teacher, right?
Correct.
Our teacher is Almighty God, right? And it's His Word. Talk to us about that, Nan. Shell, I'm so, so confused.
<It's okay>.
Crazy day.
Yeah, so I probably know my content as a as an instructor better. So I just want to apologize ahead of time because I'm sitting next to this wise sage over here.
That's right, you are.
And this is all spontaneous for me.
Yeah.
Really.
You had
for
no
me.
Preparation. It's always surprises. I love the surprises of the Holy
Spirit.
Yeah, I'm
going to borrow
you know?
Your line and just say, this wasn't planned.
It wasn't planned. That's right. That's my line. Because it's true. We live that way. Go ahead.
Just to go to the Word, it's like learning a new language.
Yeah.
And it's very foreign when you first start fumbling around the Bible like I did so many years ago. And I still do. Sometimes I don't know whether to go right or left in the Bible because
right.
I don't have my scriptures down that well.
Sure.
But when I read this verse that PJ had read, chapter 50 of Isaiah, verse 4, just when I'm exhausted in the morning or just exhausted from emotions after the kind of long days being stuck in traffic and that kind of thing, I feel more revitalized after just opening the book and going into the Word.
Absolutely.
And God gives me rest.
Yes.
And I feel rest
yes.
as if I had a nap. Almost.
I know. It's weird, isn't it?
Yeah. It keeps you going.
It's supernatural because, you know, just to pick up a novel and read it doesn't do that to you.
No. It's definitely something inexplicable. But once you connect with that spirit, you know that's what it is.
Yeah.
You know it's God.
Oh, absolutely. Disciples learn how to give an encouraging word. I don't think we, and I've said this many times during this series on discipleship, we didn't just grow up being a disciple. We didn't. We grew up being whoever we are. But, I mean, like, for instance, your profession as a professor, you didn't just, you know, get out of high school and say, I'm going to go be a professor, you know, and try to get a job with no training, right?
Right, right?
You went and finally got a job as a professor because you had been to school for X number of years and learned your field better than the average person walking down the road. So you could apply and get a job and get credentials behind your name, right?
Right.
And so with the things of God, yeah, but the things of God, we don't claim to have credentials. We have a willing heart that listens to the Spirit of God. You know what I'm saying, Shell? Talk about that, and then we'll go back to Jim.
Yeah, if you incline your ear to Him.
Yes.
And you don't lean on your own heart.
Yes.
And your own understanding, and you just accept God and say, you know, talk to me.
Right.
He will make whatever message He has for you that day. Maybe it's a word for you or a word for you. He wants to use you as an instrument to talk to others.
Right.
Like today.
Right. Exactly. Like here you are, surprise.
And He'll do the speaking for you.
Yes.
Because honestly, I was scared to come. I was like, what am I even doing? I'm not prepared. I haven't looked at the verses. And I'm, again, sitting next to you guys, but I'm a baby Christian. Everything I've learned from you guys and from this book here. So.
But you know what? How cool it is that you answered, because one of the things on the 10 things on that list of what does a disciple do, one of them is a disciple answers the call.
You obey.
You obey. You obey. And when you feel God speaking to you, even if you're taking a very delicious nap that evidently Pastor Jim was engaged in when I called, he was very groggy and out of it and asleep. But
yes, I said, just give me time to wake up.
Yeah. But you did. You woke up and you got here, right? And Shell turned around and got here. And I find it fascinating that so often our plans are not what God's plans are for a particular show or for a particular sermon. You guys hear me say it all the time. Well, I didn't plan this. Right?
That's not what I had originally planned to talk about.
You can exactly. quote me, right? And And again, with that in mind, it did not go the way I expected it to do today, because we never got to the fact that a disciple gives words of encouragement, which we're going to talk about in this show. But we're also going to talk about what I talked about today, which was a disciple can get very caught up in giving negative words. I never got to the verse Proverbs 18:21, which is one of my favorite ones. And the way I know those what those numbers are is 18. We all think people are, you know, legally grown up, and they're not. And then 21, by 21 they can drink, right? 18:21. Proverbs 18:21 in the Message Bible says this: words. Well, I just forgot it. Words give life. Words kill. Words give life. What's it say? And let's see it in another translation. Message: words kill, words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose. That's Proverbs 18:21, and that's the power of words right there, Pastor Jim.
Amen. In the Amplified, it says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it and indulge it will eat its fruit and bear the consequences of their words."
Explain.
What we say matters. What we say matters.
Yes.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue. A lot of people scoff at that, but think about it. For everybody that's out there listening, do you put yourself down?
Right.
Do you tell yourself you're not capable? You're not, you know, oh, sorry, I just had a moment here. I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, you know.
Right.
And... Or do you build yourself up with your words? Do you say, and there's a song we sing, "I am what I am who you say
I am." Oh,
yeah,
we played that this morning before church, didn't we?
Yeah, and that is such a great song, because we need to remember, yeah, if we look at who we are on our own, in our own flesh, in our own humanness, then we're going to talk ourselves down. Because, you know, we know how nasty, rotten, impolite, whatever we can be. But if we confess what the Word says about us.
Amen.
You know, if we say, "I am, Lord, who you say I am." And again, that requires kind of discipleship. And you got to find that out, first of all. You got to be in the Word. What does God say about me?
Right.
And then speak those words, because you're speaking God's word, which is life.
Amen. And one of the best books in the whole Bible to teach you how to do that is the book of Ephesians. And we just started a Bible study last Wednesday night. You and Pastor, you're Pastor Jim, that's right. You and Dr. Angel and me, I'm not fluttered. We started the series on the book of Ephesians, and Dr. Angel is doing the part of inheritance and identity. Who are you anyway? You're doing the part of Ephesians about walking a Christian walk and behavior, how you
right.
behave. And I'm doing the part about taking authority and spiritual warfare. And the book of Ephesians is only 6 chapters. Audience, I would encourage you, read that book. It will help you decide who you are. What you say about yourself is very important, isn't it, Shell? Talk to me about that. What you say about yourself is very important. What you think about about yourself is very important.
Yes, confidence is something I've always had to work on. I was always naturally a shy person.
Until you met all of us?
Yeah, you kind of brought me out of my shell a little bit. But just, you know, you can use your tongue to speak positive things and build and edify others, just like you can use it to build and edify yourself. I mean, if you take on a task and you go in thinking with a defeatist attitude, "I'm not going to be able to do this," then you're not going to do it.
Right.
If you ask God to give you the strength to do it and you lean on Him for that strength, you speak like it's already accomplished, it's
done.
There you go. You can be bold, walking with Him, and, you know, he'll keep you on track.
He will.
So.
That's exactly right. And the more we practice being a disciple, And when it starts with a decision, I believe. Okay, it starts with a decision. Okay, God, I want to be more for you than I've ever been before. I want to answer the call of discipleship. I want to be somebody that learns how to give an encouraging word. Somebody who doesn't just stay back in the same old stuff I've always lived in. I'm going to play this song, and I want you both to comment after. The Word is Alive by Casting Crowns. We just read Proverbs 18:21. Words, they give life or they bring death. We choose that. In fact, in the Message Bible, words kill or words give life. They're either poison or fruit. You choose.
Looking out from his throne, the Father of light and of men, chose to make himself known and show us the way back to him. Speaking wisdom and truth into the hearts of peasants and kings, he began to unveil the word that would change the course of all things. With eyes wide, even still, as the rain falls from heaven, feeds the earth before it returns. Lord, let your word fall on us and bring forth the fruit you deserve. With eyes wide,
scripture. The word is alive. Yes, it is. It so is. We are going to a place I did not plan. Here we go. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to go to verse 1. 1 Peter 2, 1. And Peter says this. So clean house. By the way, I love to clean house. I love a clean house. I love to mop. I really do, Jim. I love to mop.
Okay. You're just strange.
Though. I know I am. I like to clean house. I like a clean house.
You can come mop at my house.
Okay. I'll keep that in mind.
Anytime.
I still owe you a mop bucket. But anyway, 1 Peter 2:1. So clean house. You make a clean sweep of malice and pretense, envy and hurtful talk. Boy, does this ever go along with what we need to talk about right now. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1. So clean house. Make a clean sweep of malice and pretense. We're going to ask our English professor there in a minute what malice and pretense are. Envy and hurtful talk. You've had a taste of God, now like infants at the breast, drink deep of God's pure kindness. Then you'll grow up mature and whole in God. I propose that when we begin to get a handle on God's kindness in our lives, it makes us sweeter. Does anybody want to comment on that, PJ? When we are just like, we begin to understand how kind God is and how much he loves us, that it begins to do a work in us, a sweetness.
Well, that's true. I mean, and that's what, well, that's one of the things I'll be talking about on Wednesday nights is as we mature in the Lord, we change on the inside and we take on more of God's character.
We do.
And yeah, we become more loving, more lovable, I guess.
Yeah.
Hopefully.
Right.
If we don't, then there's something wrong somewhere.
Right.
But we need, as we take in his word, we take on his nature.
We do.
Ooh, I like that.
Oh, well, that's so true.
Yeah.
Yeah. When we take in his word, we take on his nature because he's the word.
And we become more and more like Jesus.
We do.
Through the power of the Holy Spirit. We, I mean, and